The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You can hear our next guest. It's part of the Locked On Colts podcast, wherever you get your shows, including the free-to-download Odyssey app. Jake Arthur joining us in the sports bar. Jake, and really appreciate you educating us on the season to date with the Indianapolis Colts, and it's one that's had a lot of headlines. Certainly no shortage of controversy. You've got some injuries in the mix there, and a team that's in the mix, kind of farting around when it comes to their playoff positioning. Jake, you know, up to this point, tell us a little bit about the Colts season and how it's gone so far.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, it's always something new. You don't really, even those of us who cover it every day, don't even know much what to say. So offensively, this definitely is a team that's still kind of searching for its identity. You know, the last thing you would expect to happen was them to bench Anthony Richardson. But, you know, if they've got to get started on winning games, then they feel Joe Flacco gives them the best chance at least to execute an offensive game plan and give it some consistency. That obviously got off to a pretty rocky start against the Vikings, if anyone watched that one. Of course, national TV, so everyone got to see what was going on there. But defensively, they're kind of carrying things right now. The Colts have been in a lot of really close games, and the defense has more than held its own. It was definitely the more malign group of the two coming into the season. We're all kind of screaming at them about needing, you know, more insurance and security in the secondary and needing more veterans. That group, although it's gotten banged up, has kind of stepped up a little bit. And then the defensive line rebounded from kind of a horrendous start to the year where they gave up over 200 yards rushing early on. But they're playing a lot better football, especially up front on the defensive side. But, yeah, this offense, it's kind of a new story each week. Again, they're just looking for an identity right now.
Yeah, Jake, help us to understand, you know, the whole switch at quarterback, because I look at Carolina, say, for instance, and, hey, Bryce Young wasn't good, and he needed a timeout. But they went back to him, and I don't know if he's going to get any better, but he did get a win, and they're going to at least learn the rest of the year whether they have something or not. Why kind of the line in the sand here moving forward when you made that investment with Anthony Richardson? Was it the tap out? Was it the locker room? What went into that, Jake?
Yeah, I think there's just a little bit of everything involved in this. Certainly, like I mentioned, it's the last thing you would have expected to see happen. Especially like, you know, by the midway point, first half of the season. Now, Anthony was not playing well early on, but his ability to avoid sacks and run with the football certainly gave the offense a little bit higher of a floor. You know, if they couldn't pass the ball worth a dang, they could at least do the thing, you know, they could at least run the ball. Anthony could get out of pressure. His presence alone really helped things for the running backs and Jonathan Taylor. But, you know, he was not playing well. The tap out, I think, it seems, unless there's just things we're not hearing about, which of course there always will be, because this is a very guarded organization, especially since Shane Steichen has come in. I don't know. I just think for the product on the field, at least, they just probably did not know what to expect week to week from Anthony Richardson. And Joe Flacco, at least as a veteran who can kind of take the layups and maybe give them some stability with, you know, throwing to every area of the field, they can at least try and get some sort of consistency of a game plan going on. We'll see if it can happen against Buffalo. But, yeah, there was something about Anthony where they just no longer felt like they had a positive chance of winning. I mean, Shane Steichen even said, he's like, I owe it to the 53 guys in the locker room to give them the best chance to win. I mean, so that's at least what they're putting on the surface. But you know, there were some reports of, some national reports, that is, of like Anthony's preparation and things like that and how he's been approaching things this year. Shane Steichen did this week kind of rebuff all that and said he doesn't know what they're talking about and that has nothing to do with it. So, as always, I do think there's probably a little more to the story that has not come to the light. But from what we've heard, it's kind of just all, you know, performance and merit based.
Well, you might not know the answer to this because I don't know how much time you're spending in the locker room, and certainly we're not in there during key moments. But it's the kind of move that to me feels like it could divide a team. It could split a locker room because, let's face it, there are guys, younger guys on that team that probably gravitate towards Richardson, his style of play, his athleticism, his personality, more than they would the stoic statue of Joe Flacco, who might give you the better chance to win. It's a long way of me asking, Jake, do you think this locker room is divided, or do you think they really are bought into what Shane Steichen is saying when he says Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to win?
I do think they trust Shane Steichen, but on the same token, from the guys we've talked to in the last couple weeks, I just get the feeling none of them, I don't think they totally were, I don't want to say on board with it, but you get the feeling everyone's still very much on Anthony's side, and maybe it's not the move they would have made. I think everyone sees that Anthony was having some issues, and again, it was hard to know what to expect from him, and Joe Flacco's statistics were certainly much, much better. But Anthony wasn't the only problem, and you just sensed a little bit of apprehension from the players there of, you know, God, here we go again, another change at quarterback. And I think just for their sanity, a lot of these guys would love to just have a quarterback for the entire year. And with it being Anthony, you know, a young guy with some future ahead of him, I think that gave guys some juice, and they wanted to see him grow and develop. And, you know, with Joe Flacco going in there, of course, everyone's like, yeah, you know, he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing, this and that. But everyone's, you know, been there, done that. There's so many guys in there that have played with Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan and the veterans and everything. And it's like, that's nice, but, you know, we really need to see what we've got in this kid. That's, without them directly saying that, that's kind of the sense you got.
Jake Arthur is the co-host of the Locked On Colts podcast. Bills and Colts coming up this Sunday. Jake, both teams have some injury concerns. Let's start with the Colts offensive line. How big a loss is Ryan Kelly? What, give us kind of the state of the offensive line here.
Yeah, so with Ryan Kelly, traditionally he's a very good player, a Pro Bowl player. But this year he has just been really banged up, and I think the product on the field has probably been suffering a little bit for it. He just doesn't really look like himself, not nearly with the power that he normally has. Tanner Bordellini has had to play a few times this year already and has actually looked really good. You know, aside from the tape looking, you know, solid, he actually is grading out very well. Pro Football Focus has him as their number 6 rookie offensive lineman in the NFL and the number 1 rookie offensive lineman in pass blocking. So Bordellini's looked pretty good, a bit better as a pass blocker than a run blocker so far. But, you know, this is kind of a patchwork group right now. What was your most confident level on the offense with that line? You know, you've got a rookie undrafted free agent at right guard with Dalton Tucker, who had to fill in because Will Fries, you know, broke his lower leg and is out for the year. So you got two rookies right there, and then last week you had a rookie in Matt Gonzalez filling in at left tackle. So this is a group that's had to deal with a lot of change. It does look like Ryman should hopefully be back. He was out with a concussion last week, but so far through 2 days of practice, he's logged full participation. So certainly unless there's a setback, it looks like Ryman should be back. But yeah, you're going to have two rookies there in the middle. So, you know, the Ed Olivers of the world might look at that and be a little bit excited.
As far as a skill position players go, Flacco might be without one of his weapons. Pittman not practicing today. What can you tell us about his injury and his likelihood to play on Sunday?
Yeah, he's one of probably like four or five guys who their practice week really is centered around like Thursdays. So for him not to practice today was a little interesting because he's had a nagging back issue for weeks now, and they've been kind of trying to be careful with him, basically, with that back injury. He did tell us this week, you know, he definitely has his good days and bad, but he also had a dislocated finger late in the game last week. So this could just be them being a little more cautious with him, but I do think it's interesting for him to miss a Thursday practice because all the guys who they're cautious with those injuries, they at least all go in there on Thursdays and are full participants. So I wouldn't have really thought much of it, except for him being out today. So that definitely bears monitoring. With that said, the back injury, he has really not looked like himself either. Very similar to the Ryan Kelly situation. He's going out there to gut it out for his teammates. He's a captain and everything. But he just only looks like a fraction of himself. Now, one thing about that is if rookie A.D. Mitchell was playing like they probably hoped he would have been, if he would have been playing at a really high level, they could probably afford to not have Pittman playing at a high level. But Mitchell's been coming along really slowly. So the passing game right now really kind of runs through Josh Downs underneath and then getting some chunk plays a little bit downfield to Alec Pierce.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're talking to Jake Arthur about the Colts here as I took a look at the other side of the ball there. And I don't know. I look at these linemen. I'm like, whoa, this might be a tough team to run the ball against. Certainly looks like you'll get former Syracuse linebacker Zaire Franklin, a leading tackler on the team, back at middle linebacker. The Bills come in with James Cook and certainly Ray Davis. A good one-two punch. How difficult will it be for Buffalo to run against that front seven, would you say?
They've definitely gotten better than earlier in the year. It certainly helps that DeForest Buckner is back. He got back a couple weeks ago, and the defensive line looks completely different since then. The tricky thing is those linebackers, though, EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin. There have been games where they've really struggled to get off of blocks and, you know, get their run fits and everything. But historically, they are very good run defenders. So will Buffalo get theirs and, you know, get about 100 or so yards on the ground? Most likely. This isn't like a staunch run defense. They're not really going to shut teams down. That's been a little bit of a struggle for them to do that this year. But they aren't really letting teams run all over them and dominate them anymore. So I would expect Buffalo to be able to have a somewhat balanced offense. But we'll see. I think they certainly play better at home. But yeah, the defense up front has definitely improved. If people's expectation is what they saw from the Colts early in the season, it's definitely not that bad anymore. They've got some things figured out. And Gus Bradley's kind of moving some guys around a little bit and has become, you know, a little more schematically diverse, I would say. He's kind of been known to be kind of stubborn in his ways and his coverages and things. But he's coming along, and he's putting guys in position to actually make those plays in the run game.
Jake, Bills fans wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, remembering a 5-touchdown game that Jonathan Taylor had in Orchard Park. Yeah. A few seasons back, and since that game, we saw a lengthy holdout, or, you know, all kinds of off-field issues with the team early last year. And tell me if my eyes deceive me, but he doesn't, to me, appear to be the same back that he was. And certainly, years will, you know, add tread to the. You know, there's a little bit less tread on the tire for Jonathan Taylor. What kind of a season is he having? Is he the same threat that he was that afternoon when he put up 5 touchdowns against the Bills?
He's still very much an upper echelon running back, but I don't know that he's got like that elite speed that can beat everybody on the field still. If he does, we haven't seen it in a bit, but his game has evolved a little bit. I would say one of his best attributes now is his blend of vision and patience. He's gotten really, really good at reading and following his blocks, and just hesitating just a second to like let guys get there and then finding a crease. And something that's always been a strength of his is getting really small in between the holes and being able to weave and power his way through defenders. The Colts are using him a lot in between the tackles this year, and it's going overall well, but the problem is they aren't using him consistently. There's like stretches where they'll use him and he'll be killing teams, and then they'll disappear and they just won't use him very much anymore. So I think this is a recipe definitely this week to use him, especially if Buffalo wants to use lighter boxes. But I'd be lying if I said I trusted that the Colts would just hammer it with him, because sometimes what you think is the obvious plan of attack doesn't wind up being what they do. But as far as Taylor's effectiveness goes, he's still very much capable of putting, you know, 150 yards on teams. It just depends on what Steichen wants to do with this offense this week.
I like Jim Irsay. I might be kind of alone in that. Somebody that always was free to speak his mind. Not quite Jerry Jones, but certainly, you know, was always kind of involved. And he had that health scare. What is the, you know, is he in the public eye these days? Is he actually behind the quarterback decision? To what involvement does Jim Irsay still have here as the Colts owner?
He did have a little bit of a hiatus, you know, about the first half of this year when he was dealing with some of those health issues. He is back in the public eye a little bit more. You know, the Colts recently had a Ring of Honor induction for like Dallas Clark, and Jim Irsay was there to help induct him into the Ring of Honor and everything. So he's coming out a little bit more. I don't think he's quite as hands-on. Like, I think he like delegates things to Steichen and Chris Ballard a little bit. He tends to step in when he thinks things are out of control. And 2022, his fingerprints were all over that. Obviously, no one else in their right mind would have fired Frank Reich midseason and brought in Jeff Saturday. I think we all kind of thought Frank Reich was a lame duck that year anyways. But to do it, you know, midseason and bring in a guy off the ESPN set, that kind of goes against everything you would think Chris Ballard would stand for example. So he did kind of go lone wolf on that. But I don't get the sense that he is, you know, mandating a bunch of things and pulling all the strings. I mean, he's still very invested in the day-to-day operations, but I think he really only steps in when he feels it's necessary.
Jake, you said something earlier, and it kind of drives home a point I made earlier this week when I look at the Colts and the season that they're having, and I try to relate them to an opponent that the Bills had just a couple of weeks ago. Are the Colts the Seattle Seahawks of the AFC? Because you said that they're a team that you would think you would know what they would do, but they don't always do what you think they're going to do. And we saw in Seattle the Bills dominate a Seahawks team that, well, Kenneth Walker was largely invisible. They didn't really go to him, but you see teams run the ball against the Bills with success. Are the Colts really just Seattle in disguise in the AFC?
I think they would like to be what Seattle is through the air, you know. Like, I think Shane Steichen really wants this downfield passing attack to be a thing. I think week one against Houston was such a dangerous thing to happen for them because, I mean, Anthony Richardson took the world by storm with, you know, the three, like, 40, 50-yard plays. And they're like, oh, God, that's we could do that all the time. And it's like the only part of the field, it seems like, is 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. And it's like there's all that you can play up close, like in front of the sticks. And so it's just so bizarre. Like they have a really good offensive line with one of the best running backs in the league who I think it's fair to say has been underused this season. Now, he did miss a couple games with an ankle injury. But he looks good enough to be taking over games, and they're just not doing that with him. And then the passing attack, I think they've got guys who they could get the ball to in the short and intermediate areas, and they're just not. You know, the tight ends have been non-existent, like totally. If you're not a Colts fan or follow them, you would not be able to tell me a single thing about their tight ends this year. And it's just such an interesting thing because Alec Pierce and A.D. Mitchell are really your only downfield winners. And I think that's the reason why this passing game is just so clunky is because guys aren't being utilized to their strengths necessarily. Now they still have some time to figure this out. To their credit, Minnesota is a really good defense. Brian Flores is an awesome defensive mind. The working Joe Flacco win in his first game against that was probably troublesome. But I think this game against Buffalo will be telling, not that Buffalo doesn't, you know, present a challenge defensively, but it doesn't have that big notoriety that Brian Flores does. And there's a clear advantage where the Colts should be able to run the ball.
Before we ask you for your kind of pick or your forecast for this game, just kind of curious here. In 317, Eric, I'm assuming you're based still in Indianapolis, correct, Jake?
Yeah, I'm here in Central Indiana, about 15 minutes from their facility.
Okay, so like, give us a sense of what the sports landscape is in Indy these days. Because, well, you have the Pacers. I'm just curious, you know, how Caitlin Clark arriving on the scene, is she the top figure in Indianapolis sports here today? And are the Colts still at the top here?
I think the Colts, anytime the Colts are winning, they're at the top. But I think right now fans are pretty indifferent because we've gone down the veteran quarterback road again, and there's just not a ton to get excited about. You know, they're not a winning football team right now. The Pacers have some juice because they obviously went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They have some really exciting pieces and Halliburton and Mathurin. But Caitlin Clark, I would say, she is king/queen right now. Mm. The Fever had awesome attendance all year, not even just at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, but all across the country. And there is zero reason not to think that Caitlin isn't the top athlete in the city right now. And, you know, the Fever, there's really more room for optimism for them than the Colts right now, certainly, because they just kind of pulled the plug on their young quarterback experiment. But between Indiana football being undefeated and the Fever and the Pacers starting up and everything, I think basketball and college football is kind of the ticket right now because both Notre Dame and IU are in the college football playoff rankings currently.
Jake, what do you think they do when it's all said and done with Anthony Richardson? Is he on this roster this time next year? Do you think they move off of him when it's all said and done? Because you're a team that, since Andrew Luck retired, really doesn't seem to have a plan at quarterback. You drafted one, you invested in one with a number 4 overall pick, and now it feels like his time may be up. What do you think the long-term vision is here for this team at quarterback to kind of get back some of that footing in Indianapolis when you have other stars in your market now?
Yeah, so I would have thought what the Colts would have done is taken this year, let Anthony play the whole year, and then after the season, they would have a pretty good idea of what they wanted to do moving forward. But now, your evaluation of him on the football field is done for this year. So I think really the only option they can do is bring in a veteran to compete with him to be the starter next year. Because I don't think they want to get rid of him. But it is hard to say what they're doing. I think we're all kind of wondering the same thing. What's the plan now? I don't even know if they know. But a gun to my head, I think they bring in a veteran to compete with him to be the starter next year. And, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you probably don't have any. I mean, how many success stories start out this way, you know? But it's interesting. I mean, I don't really know what they want to do with his development. There's only so many snaps you can give the backup in practice. But I think they want to see him preparing like a maniac. And, you know, God forbid something happens to Joe and Anthony gets back in there this year. They'd probably like to see market improvement.
Colts and Bills, apologies there, Jake. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, you're good.
How do you see this playing out? 1 o'clock our time, the kickoff. Bills favored by 4. Do you see the Colts winning this game?
It's very hard for me to pick 4 of them right now. I see the Bills probably pulling this one out like, you know, 24-16. I would think if the Colts really invest heavily in Jonathan Taylor in this game, then it could change the tone, especially if that opens up like some play action opportunities in the passing game. But they've got to prove that they can be capable of these things first. So I certainly think there's an avenue for the Colts to win, but that is not my assumption whatsoever.
Jake, appreciate you giving us some time this afternoon and educating us on the Colts. We look forward to this weekend, and we'll be listening to the Locked On Colts podcast, wherever we get our shows here, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. There's Jake Arthur. You can hear him on the Locked On Colts podcast and the free-to-download Audacy app. That's AUDACY.
Okay, so you can run on this defense. That's what I took, even with DeForest Buckner in there.
I'm not worried about the Colts.
No.
If you want to be considered, I said it earlier, if you want to be considered a contender in the AFC, you can't trip on the Colts. You can't. You just cannot.
Benford coming back is huge.
Big. Pittman being injured, that certainly helps the Bills.
Even if Pittman's out there, I think, you know, Benford being back, I'm not concerned that this will be the Joe Flacco, oh my gosh, well, he threw for 300 yards.
Right, and the thing that he said that reminds me again of Seattle, you would think that they would do the thing you would think they should do, which is run the football, but they tend to not do the thing that you think they should do. I would expect a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor, but you just heard Jake say, yeah, they're not really leaning on him as much as you would think they should.
As long as the course here for Josh Allen has been set at, hey, you're facing the two high safeties, take what's given. He has done a magnificent job this year. And if you continue going that down, Khalil Shakir, okay, I don't like it. Here you go. Gain a 7.
All day.
Yeah, do it. Do it all day.
All day. And we assume that head coaches, it's the assumption of rational coaching, right? You assume that they see what the Bills' run defense looks like and you would just get fed a steady dose of Jonathan Taylor. Well, I don't know that we can assume that Shane Steichen is a rational coach based on what he's done here this season.
I'll say this, and I know he's your linebacker, but we all have the Jonathan Taylor nightmare. Oh, my gosh. The guy who was the middle linebacker that was taking the wrong gaps, he's playing in Chicago.
Oh,
now.
Dude, you don't have to apologize.
Like, honestly, Terrell Bernard is a better middle linebacker.
I agree. I see it every week. I'm like, oh, there he is again, not being physical. Oh, there he is again, out of position. Oh, there he is again, not in the right gap. Ah, it's wonderful. Glad we're paying him all that money. But he's so big. He's so physical. He's so imposing. Is he? Yeah, you're right. And we'll see. Maybe it is different. Maybe you are able to bottle them up early and they never get the run game going and you're forced to make Joe Flacco beat you with his arm, in which case I would hope the Bills pass rush can get after a guy who's a statue in the pocket.
Appreciate Jake Arthur giving us some time when we learn a little more about the Indianapolis Colts. And again, you'll be able to hear the game here on the Fan Rochester, your home for Buffalo Bills football. That's Sunday afternoon with kickoff at 1 o'clock. We've got happy hour next. A round of shots on the way. We'll look over that Buffalo Bills injury report from today's practice, and we'll take your calls. 866-4326, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.